rated M for mature. I need to talk to a mature audience. Now, there's some people that I know, some of the things that I'm going to share today, it's going to seem like nothing. It ain't going to even seem like nothing that you even hear today. But I promise you, at some point, your level of maturity is going to be high enough to hear this. So it's going to come back around. That's what I'm saying. Because we're at different places, at different times in the things of God. But I believe today's message is for a mature audience. Because this is life, and this is the way it is. The sooner we learn to deal with the way it is, the better off we're going to be. And I believe looking at things from a biblical perspective is the perspective we need. I don't have the answers for all of the other things that's happening in the world outside of a biblical perspective. We can't explain this, that, and the other, the things that's going on. Why are people doing some of the stupid stuff they're doing outside of a biblical perspective? So we might as well decide to use the Word of God to figure out what's going on and how we should best handle and govern ourselves. So, I know that seems like you might be saying, what in the world are we going to do today? Well, just hold on. I want to talk about, manifesting the hidden reality of the glory of God. Manifesting the hidden reality of the glory of God. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21, and we will start at verse 24. I'm going to put something out in front of you to start to consider. Remember, this is for a mature audience. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. It is critical that we understand what the "it" is in this passage of Scripture. When you look, it's talking about the new Jerusalem that has come down. So all of this, the "it," if you will, is the new Jerusalem. For instance, and there shall in no wise enter into new Jerusalem anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you're going to be there. Amen. Thought I had to do a little something so I could get people on board here. But what I want to really look at is verse 24 and 26. The Bible says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So there are kings in the earth who have glory and honor, and they're going to bring the glory and honor into this city. How do you bring glory and honor to somewhere unless glory and honor are tangible things? All right, look at verse 26. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. The glory, let's just stop for a second. According to the text, glory will be brought into the New Jerusalem. I'm not talking about where we sit and go, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. literal glory will be brought. For those of you all that may remember, we talked about, we done a sermon years ago. In the sermon, we talked about heaven, satisfaction guaranteed. And we talked about how heaven is not like what we think. This is the same verse, this is the same chapter of scripture that was dealing with the whole New Jerusalem, which was the bride of the Lamb, which was being changed. There's a glory that's going to be brought into New Jerusalem by people. What I want to talk about now is how do we get that glory? We know, I told you last week, we've been crowned with glory and honor. But if you would listen today, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak some truth to you that's going to bless you and will help you deal with the situations you go through in life. I want to, if I could give a subtitle for this message, it would be very simply, the extraction process. The extraction process. How does God get this glory out of us? How does he extract it out of us? You know, there was 60 Minutes done a little clip, and they were talking about olive oil. Olive oil has become one of the most precious substances around. There's some places in Italy that they're doing counterfeit olive oil because it's worth so much money. The mob has gotten into olive oil, the production of olive oil. But what made me think about it is the process that the olive has to go through to yield the oil. The content is within it, but it has to be extracted. It has to go through a process to give up the goods. Let me go back into the text here, and we'll talk about that later. I want to remind you of our definition of extract. The word extract means to get, to pull, or to draw out. It's usually with some special effort or skill, and it can be done by force. I believe God is going to get glory out of us. He's going to pull glory out of us. He's going to draw glory out of us because he's got the special skill, and if not, he can use the force. He's going to get the glory. Yep, I can already see. That's fine. Number one, the path to the extraction of the glory of God is rarely a pleasurable journey. I told you it was for a mature audience only. Today probably won't be the jump and shout one, but if you could be spiritual enough to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, this will bless you. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying the path to the extraction of the glory of God is rarely a pleasurable journey. Don't expect to always, you know, well, we're going to cover some stuff. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus is talking. And he's saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So here's the Lord Jesus himself in prayer with God the Father in a situation where he's literally saying, listen, is there any other way for us to take this cup? Yes, I want to glorify you. Is there any other way to do this? My path is not pleasurable. Is there any other way to do this? The Bible says, verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I believe though the journey may at times be unpleasant, God will always strengthen you. That's a good time for amen right there. I got my own. Don't worry about it. I do believe that there are times where we will go through this journey and it will be unpleasant on top of unpleasant on top of unpleasant. But during that time, God himself will strengthen you. Mark chapter 15, verse 39. I want to show you the end of Jesus' journey here. Mark chapter 15, verse 39. And the Bible says, and when the centurion which stood over against him and saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Look at the glory God gets now, because this, how is it this soldier who has seen people die time and time again, but after Jesus finishes his journey, he is able to look and say, truly, this is the Son of God. It's rarely pleasant. Rarely pleasant. But God will get the glory. Are y'all ready to shift gears a little bit? So God received the glory when Jesus finished his earthly journey. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. This is just the introduction so I can get to the extraction process. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, you know this, my grace is sufficient of thee, for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So listen to this. God can get glory out of our infirmities because his strength is made manifest in our weaknesses. How many of us want to glory in our infirmities, though? We want to glory in our strengths. Not in our infirmities, but when you glory in your infirmity, then all of a sudden it's not your strength, but Christ's strength that's coming through you. Thank God for the things that you can't do without praying about it. Thank God for the things that you have to depend on God to be able to do and get by with. And you're not able to look at something and just figure it all out on your own. Thank God, because now it's not about your strength. Yeah, I'm going somewhere. Matter of fact, let's just go to the extraction process. Let's just go there. Let me give you the first way that God is going to extract praise. Glory. It's praise. It's praise. You want to get, watch this. Psalms 50 and 23. This is a setup. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. You know, let me do this, and I'm going to show you something that came to me the other day when I was thinking about this scripture. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. So do you know when you praise God, you glorify him?
Yes. Yes, sir.
So when we want to give God glory, we just should praise him, right? Amen. 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 That's one of the ways that God gets, he gets glory, is by us praising him. All right. We ready, kid? We ready? So God gets glory whenever we praise him. Psalms 33 and 1 says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. So it's normal for us to be able to offer up praise to our God. If you're upright. If you're upright. We slow walking it. That's all right. Hebrews 13 and 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So if you're trying to figure out, okay, when you praise God, you end up glorifying him. Well, how do I praise him? You could just do thanks from the sacrifice of your lips. That's one way. But let's see if we could maybe miss a little something in the reading of the scripture. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Let me do a couple quick things. Remember when I showed you the scripture in Psalms 50 when it says, he that offereth praise, God ain't taking praise from you. You got to offer it. It's an offering. I ain't going to make you praise me. I want you to offer it up. How is it that some folks are reluctant to praise God? They're reluctant to talk about his goodness. They're reluctant to share what he's doing. I'm not going to make you do this. You got to offer it up. It's a free will offering. Now, watch this. I'm not going to make you because you got to offer the sacrifice of praise. Now, you offer it and it's a sacrifice. So why is it a sacrifice? Because I need you to do it continually. Sometimes when you don't feel like it, Ken. I told you it's for a mature audience. Everybody, I understand. Everybody else, God did something for me yesterday so I can praise him today. See, sometimes, it's like a little kid. They happy when you give them something. And for that moment, they're ready to celebrate. But they lose sight of it and they don't remember it. And over a process of time, you got to keep giving them something. You know what they used to say that was being spoiled back in my day. You know, that's what they used to say. I'm going to tell you something. God ain't into spoiling his children. It's for a mature audience. Just stick with me for a second. So the sacrifice of praise is giving God thanks. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 here. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. Since we're doing all this thanksgiving, since we're doing all of this praise, since we're giving God all of this glory, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, while you're sitting there, I believe that this should be an illustrative sermon. I believe that we should participate in this. That way you help me gauge whether or not you're getting the message or not, whether I'm properly conveying the truth with you or not. So if you would, I just want you for a moment to put something in your mind that you can thank God for. Something that the Lord has done for you, just for a moment that you can just, Lord, I thank you for that. And I want you, if you feel like it, if you are right with it, just to offer up praise. Lord, I thank you because you've been so good. I thank you because of your mercy. I thank you because of your grace. God, you've been good to me. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Hold on. Sit down. Y'all sit down now. Y'all going to get enough chance. I'm going to make sure you get enough opportunities to help me preach today. You hear my voice. I'm struggling already. So I'm going to make sure you got opportunities to help me. So most of us, when we stood up that time, Minister Plummer, most of us began to think of all of the goodness of the Lord, how it just flooded our soul, the things that God has brought us up out of, the troubles, the afflictions that we've been through, the things that we may have dealt with in our body, the things that we've done with in our jobs, the things that we've been challenged with, dealing with people day in and day out, having to look at folks and they talking about you and doing things. All of this that God has brought us out of this. But wait a minute. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So now I need you to do something else. I need you to put in your mind the situation you don't like. The one that you're going through right now. The one that you were hoping that God, this would be the day that I'd be free of this thing, that I wouldn't have to see it anymore. I want to know, are you mature enough to praise him in the midst of it? I want to know, are you mature enough to understand that praise glorifies God? That you can glorify him in the midst of it. Not when you come out, not when you feel better. Not when it looks like things are going to turn around. Not when it looks like you got hope. But in the midst of this very thing, Justin, I need a little bit more, brother. I need a little bit more. I need us to be able to understand that in the midst of the trouble, while it's still happening, when the doctor's still giving the bad report, when the money's still looking funny, when things don't look like it's going to ever turn around, right then and there, he that offereth praise glorifieth me. Right then. Right then. It's a mature audience today. Hallelujah. The affliction in my body, that thing that they prayed for me, I thought it was going to get better, but it looked like it got worse. Right then, you can still offer up praise that will glorify God. Right then. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. You may be seated. See, I'm just saying, according to the scripture, it ain't got to be something you like. We've been conditioned and learned the behavior that, yes, we praise God when things are going good for us, when we get a breakthrough. But what about when it ain't right? What about when they didn't treat you right? See, instead of being in the bitterness of our soul, why don't we make it an opportunity to praise him? It still gives glory. It still gives glory. Because he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. That's a little bit about praise. That's just one extraction process. Well, let me do one more and we'll get ready to close. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I'm living differently now. Hallelujah. So wait a minute. So the enemy don't know, is it bothering me or not bothering me? Or does the hallelujah sound the same? Is it working or is it not working? It's still hallelujah. They still getting up and praising. Is it working? Do we need to stop? Do we need to turn up the pressure? What do we need? All he keeps saying is hallelujah anyhow. Oh, y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't ready for this. I told you it's a mature audience. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, you telling the enemy just how bad it's affecting you too. So what you think he gonna do to you now? See, when you learn that it's a hallelujah anyhow, when you learn that God getting glory from both of them, when I like it, when I don't like it, when it feel good, when it don't feel good, I don't want to be a conditional Christian. Only when the conditions are favorable to me will I praise him. Hallelujah. Really? Why would you live like that? I believe we have victory. I don't care what the situation looks like. I don't care how it feels. All I can say is I tell you this. I'm living what I'm preaching. I'm living what I'm preaching. Extraction process number two. Persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says it this way. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That seems like it covers pretty much everybody. If you choose to live godly, you're going to go through something. This ain't said because you made a bad decision. Oh, I chose the wrong thing. You know, because sometimes If you read the book of Job, it's a very interesting book. Because everybody looks for the explanation on why he's suffering. I mean, his friends, everybody try to explain the way God is. And that, what's bad is sometimes we have people in life who think they know how God is. And the reality is we ain't been around here long enough to know very much at all. So we tend to say, well, you know, it must be something wrong. That's why this is happening to you. So what did Jesus do wrong? Died a criminal's death. Capital punishment. And done no wrong. Yet it pleased the Lord. See, when are we going to step back and really get a biblical perspective of this? Now, the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. My question to you, how good are we at thanking God during persecution? Pastor, you don't lost your mind. I don't know what you're talking about today. Do you mean to tell, while somebody's taking advantage of me, while somebody's doing me wrong, you think I should be rejoicing and praising God then? That ain't in the Bible. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, that really is in there. How about Acts chapter 5? Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Watch this. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when they called the apostles and beaten them, you do see that they beat them, right? They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Then they let them go. How would you respond to that? Let's see verse 41, how they responded. They departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. How are we doing in persecution? Notice the, look at this mature audience. They didn't come out and say, God, please don't ever let us be beat again. They came out rejoicing. The word rejoicing is a Greek word that actually means to be full of cheer. To be full of cheer for being beaten because you're considered shameful in front of other people for the sake of Christ. I told you it was a mature audience, James. I figured this is a good weekend to do this, you know, holiday weekend. Mature audience, you know. Where are we on our rejoicing in the persecution? I mean, when that thing is on you heavy. Or we going, you know, when I was young, before my, and every kid probably goes through this. And, you know, some neighborhoods you grew up in is just a little different. When I moved from Louisiana to Michigan, Louisiana, I was by myself. We, you know, wasn't a whole lot of folk around. I mean, for miles. I got to Michigan, I lived in a regular neighborhood and stuff. And I remember, you know, you kind of like, you cry, you know. I learned to cry about stuff. That's before you learn to fight. You know, because you can cry, kind of adults will tend to you. You can cry with your peers, and they're going to laugh at you. They're going to tease you. If anything, they're going to jump on you and fight even more. Until you learn how to fight, Donald.
Amen, sir. Amen, Pastor.
Some of us still crying.
Amen. Amen.
Let me help you out. God is not moved by your tears.
No, he's not. Nope.
You could cry a river of them. He's not moved by your tears. Somebody said, God is not opening any doors that you got the keys to. I know he'll open doors that no man can shut, and he'll shut doors that no man can open. But if he gave you the keys, handle it. Handle it. We have to grow up. We have to grow up. Let me stick with this. Psalms 34:19. You know this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I got a question. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We know that. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I was riding this today, coming here, and I was thinking about this. If there are many afflictions that the righteous have to go through, and God delivers them out of all of them, why are we worried about them when we get in them? He gonna deliver you out of it. I mean, it's gonna happen. I'm sorry, am I Psalms 34:19? Am I the only one seeing this? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That part we know. But the Lord delivered him out of them all. Not some of them. All of them. And now watch this. Let's just check and see if this is true. We should be able to look back over the afflictions in our life. And we should be able to look and see if he's delivered us out of them all. I know you may be in one right now. Let's not count that one right now. Let's look at all of the other ones. And in the future, you're going to be able to look back on the one that you're in right now and add it to the collection. So if that's true, why are we not offering up praise in the affliction? See, I know y'all are saying, Pastor don't lost his mind. No, I'm trying to create in you an attitude that the enemy cannot handle. That you have become a new type of believer that he ain't used to dealing with. Somebody that he can't tell the left or the right, because you stay straight on the path. You are narrow in your focus. What's happening in your life, what's happening around you, it don't even matter. Because you are fully persuaded in who you believe. That's all. I'm sorry, just glint for a second. My wife was telling me, she said, do you, now y'all just deal with me. How, my wife has shared with me, she said, have you seen Glennette hair lately? I said, well, you know, I mean, I wasn't just trying to look at the sister hair. I mean, you know. But she was telling me, she said, you seen her hair lately. She said, remember when you said it was going to grow back? And it ain't finished. I'm telling you, it ain't finished. It ain't finished. But what I'm saying is, remember the afflictions. Glennette, remember the dark times. Well, it didn't look like it wasn't going to be no tomorrow. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Every one of them, no matter how bad your affliction is looking right now, God is faithful to deliver you up and out of it. You will look back on this one too. Hallelujah. For those of you all that don't know why I said Glennette Hare, you have to talk to her. That's her testimony. She can tell you about all of that. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. The Apostle Paul speaking with his, I'll tell you what. Let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Why we get so shook up when we go through something? Ooh, I need you to pray for me, girl. I'm going through this. And? What if we stop praying for stuff? Well, Are we praying for the right things? I mean, I'm not saying, the Bible says, if any man is sick, let him call for the elders and let them pray. What if we just start putting stuff in the right category? I do believe that there's a place for the prayer for the sick. But, ooh, girl, I had a flat. Pray for me. Really? Change the tire. Change the tire. Wait, nothing to pray about. Man, I'm going through on my job, man. Coffee maker broke. Get a new coffee maker. I think we're misappropriating the power of what God has put in us. We're using it, you know, on things that, you know, I'll show you why I believe this is true. When someone asks you what you've prayed about, can you really genuinely say that God answered it? Or are you in doubt because you don't know if it was coincidence or if it was God? Because we got a scattergun approach on hitting the canary, you know? We shoot, we just... What if we can just simply start aiming specifically at what we're believing God for? That's good. Imagine what your journals would look like then. Some things, Doug, is it even worth praying about? If many are the afflictions of the righteous and God's going to deliver us out of them all, maybe I don't even need to pray about them. Maybe this is just one of those. It's part of course. You know, when I was a young boy, when we were starting to play football, one of the things that you had to come to grips with is you're going to get hit. No. You don't understand. Your first time getting out, I don't care who you are. Your first time getting out there, I remember being at home and I got my football equipment. I was in the mirror with my equipment on and everything, looking, you know, you look good in that equipment. But you got to remember, you're going to get hit. Somewhere along, and then when game time, the people that really played, even in game time, you need that first hit to get your mind right. You need to know, is all my stuff on right? Is there everything, I need to know, is my helmet good? That first hit is going to bring you into reality. Some of the saints need to be hit, Deacon Green. Just a good hit to bring you into reality. That, okay, this is a spiritual reality that we're dealing with. That there's an enemy who's going to seek to plague your soul, who's going to make things as difficult as possible. But you know what? You can just walk right over that joke and keep going if you stay focused. Because you're going to get hit. That's why it's football. That's why you have equipment, because they expect you to get hit. We still talking about persecution here. So he says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So this is part of the extraction process that we all are appointed to, is afflictions. Every one of us is part of the course. You can't get around it. You can't go over it. You can't go beneath it. This is part of the course. You're going to have afflictions. Nobody's life is smooth. You know, I love the way we all come to church. We all come to church like nothing is wrong. Praise the Lord. How are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. We have this air about ourselves that nothing is ever wrong. But the reality is all of us are appointed to afflictions. We're going to leave out of here and have to deal with things. It's real life. That's why I don't want us to be schizophrenic. Yes, I know stuff is breaking out. Yes, I know things are happening. But I know the God who delivers us out of them all. It may seem crazy now. How many times have you, James, dealt with situations you said, how are we going to make this? What are we going to do? And now you can't hardly remember those situations because God brought us out of them. But we are pointed to those afflictions. And if you stay the course, this is going to be all right too. Let me go so I can close. Look at 2 Timothy 1 and 8. 2 Timothy 1 and 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He said, listen, I don't want you to try to avoid this. I want you to partake in the process. Hello? The truth be told, I know you don't want to make this confession out loud right now and let all your brothers and sisters in the Lord know that you thought this way. But at one point in time, you thought if you just live right and just stay away, the devil won't bother you. I won't have any problems. Hallelujah, glory to God. By now, you're part of the mature audience and you know that that is just a myth. That I don't care how you do, it's coming to you too. You now realize that it's going to knock on your doorstep. You now realize that your body will have some challenges. You now realize financially some things are going to grip you. Amen. Even when you do everything right. Hallelujah. It's just part of what we're called to. You need to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Don't run from them. Oh, I ain't with that group. Really? Why? Because right now they're not favorable in society. Right now it's all right to be called a Christian. It's getting a whole lot worse. Might be one day when folks don't want to be called a Christian. Which side will you be on? First Peter 5 and 9. New Living Translation. Well, 1 Peter 5 and 9. Let's do the King James first. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, it's telling us to resist the enemy. You know why? Because everybody's going through. Everybody's going through. But it's okay. All of those folks, you know, all of these people that we identify as great people of faith and power, you know they went through, right? So what makes us, when I look at what Jesus went through, that's my example. That's my example because Jesus didn't try to avoid the process. He partook in it. And I look at what God gave him as a result of him partaking in the gospel. I'm almost finished because I am going somewhere with this because I'm not just talking about an extraction process of praise, an extraction process of persecution without nothing coming out of this. I want you to see something. 2 Timothy 2 and 12. He says this, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Listen, these things that you're going through, if you suffer through them, you're going to reign with him. Did we forget that? Why would you try to avoid suffering if you know it's part of you reigning? Let's keep going for a moment. Romans 8 and 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So Paul said, well, listen, hold on. Let's stop for a moment. Let's tally everything up. That word reckon is an accounting term. He said, let's tally everything. Let's tally all of the sufferings of my present time. Let's put all of that on this side. And he says, you know what? After tallying all of this up, I realize it don't compare to the glory that is to be revealed. Are you understanding this? I don't think you are, because I'm about to share something with you. I want you to get a concept here. And if you get this, this will change you. I will have felt that the Lord has indeed gotten across the message he wanted. Verse 18 again. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That scripture hints to something great. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17 is not a hint. It's straightforward. It's straightforward. Now I need you to get this. For our light affliction, first off, this is Paul writing this. Paul could say it's a light affliction, because ain't none of us in here went through all that he went through for the sake of the gospel. So he could say all of our stuff is light. But he didn't say our stuff as in yours. He said our stuff as in including mine. Are you following me? So Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Wait a minute. All the trouble you're going through only lasts a moment. Well, Pastor, that you don't know how long I've been going through this. Listen, as long as you have been going through it, it's still a moment. As long as you will be going through it, it's still a moment. I don't understand. You talking in riddles and stuff. Okay, just wait a minute. I told you, if you get this, it changes you forever. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I know some people just can't see that it's for a moment. But watch this. That moment is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's for a moment because it's being compared to eternity. Compared to eternity, what you're going through is a moment. But wait a minute. If, you know, I'm going to try to do this the best I can so that we can understand this. What if I told you that there's a technique that if you give me 2 minutes per month, you could make $100,000? Would those 2 minutes be worth it? Guaranteed every month, 2 minutes, $100,000. So you, how many of you all would partake in that? I'm making a point here. I don't have that. I don't have that. No, I'm just saying. But I'm saying, I want you to understand my point. Because the Apostle Paul is giving you the same spiritual principle. He is saying, for the moment of your affliction, it is literally producing an eternal weight of glory for you. For the 2 minutes that you're going through, it is producing the $100,000 every time for you. Over and over and over. Now can you see Revelation chapter 21? When you're supposed to bring the glory into God? Now can you see where it's coming from? From the things that you've gone through, from the afflictions that you've had to deal with, from the persecutions you've had to contend with. Now it's working for us a far. Did you see? Look at all the adjectives. Far, more, exceeding. He wants you to see the difference between what your investment is and what your return is. Are you with me? The investment of the moment of affliction. The investment of the moment of persecution. The investment of the moment of contention and adversity versus the return of a far more exceeding weight of eternal glory. Your moment, watch this. Your moment produces eternal stuff. Are you getting that? So what we're dealing with temporarily is producing something eternal. Though we cannot see this with our natural eye, my temporal affliction, my temporal persecution is yielding an eternal weight of glory that I will bring into the New Jerusalem. Because, and watch this. This is how everybody has individual glory. We all go through something, but you get glory for what you go through. You get glory for how you handle it. So everybody gets to bring glory to God. I'm finished. That's it. I'm done. I know that this is a crazy concept. I hear something, so I'm going to do this. Glory. Hebrews 11 and 35. Lynette, please. Many of us have read this scripture, and I pray that now you would have understanding. The Bible says women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. I want you to listen to this. That's persecution. They were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Listen to what I'm saying. They were tortured, had the opportunity to receive deliverance, and did not accept it. What could be on somebody's mind to do that? Why would you be tortured, being offered deliverance, and not accept it, that they might obtain a better resurrection? They knew that what they were going through was working toward their eternal glory. See, early Christians had something that we've not understood this. That knowing that what you're going through right now is working for eternal glory, that even if you're offered deliverance, you choose not to take it. We thought deliverance was the greatest thing. Ooh, girl, God delivered me out of it. Really, the deliverance is not. Their resurrection will be great because they chose not to be delivered, not because they were delivered. That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Heavenly Father, I pray for all of us, Lord, as we're here today. God, help us to understand the importance of offering praise to you when we like it or when we don't like it. Help us to understand the importance of being able to endure the hardships of life, indeed, like a good soldier. Lord, the persecutions that may come our way, the afflictions that you deliver us out of all of them. Lord, help us to learn to make the most of what we're going through. Lord, so that indeed work a far more exceedingly great reward of glory. That at the appropriate time, Father, we can lay at your feet the glory that you so deserve because of what you've brought us out of, because of what you've kept us through. Father, I pray today, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, God, they're forfeiting the opportunity of bringing glory to you. They're missing out on the opportunity to be able to share and partake in your afflictions, that they might also share and partake in reigning with you. I pray if there's anyone that may need to rededicate their life, understanding that they've gotten off the path of righteousness, that they've seen that the afflictions were not meant to move them, but to really create a glory on their behalf. I pray today if they're sensitive enough to hear your voice, God, a voice calling them back unto you in rededication, that they would yield to that voice today. I pray if there's someone here today that needs a church home, God, that they would understand the importance of being taught and nurtured the Word of God, growing with fellow believers, God, allowing them to love one another and to pray one for another, and God, to care one for another amongst a group of fellow like-minded believers. Lord, if there's anyone that sees the need for salvation, rededication, or membership as a part of this local body, Holy Spirit, today, touch their hearts, touch their minds, and God, use this moment to simply verify that it's your Spirit speaking to them in Christ's name. Listen, if there's anyone here and all you hear God speaking to you, you understand and listen, I want to be saved, I want to rededicate my life, or I need a church home. Those three, if there's anyone at this time, I'm asking that you would bear witness to what you hear in your heart. You would be real with what God is saying to you. And you would come and meet us at this altar. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. I just believe it's critical that we know our place. I don't want anyone to miss out on the very best that God has for. I want to make sure that we take the time and do what we need to do and offer people the opportunity that they need. Amen. And amen.